1776. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we're going to start this hour of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment. What a surprise. And it's also produced by Melissa Sargent.
Oh, surprise.
That is a surprise. For the El Paso History Alliance, no surprise. But her History Moment today is about the first black police officers in El Paso in the 1940s.
The Color Barrier. El Paso's first black police officers were hired in 1946. Douglas Walls was invited by Mayor Dan Ponder to join the police force. The next black officer to join the force was Roscoe Roberts. Later that same year, Mayor Ponder appointed two more black police officers, Stafford Keyes and Telton Williams. The officers were given all the needed police equipment used in their duties. Though promised police cars, they would never receive them. These new officers were referred to as ground pounders because they walked beats instead of driving police cars. They were assigned to the black and Mexican American neighborhoods. Initially, the Mexican-American population did not accept or respect the black officers. In time, though, the Mexican community realized the officers would uphold the law, treat them fairly, and respectfully. The black community, too, expressed mixed feelings. Their expectations were that officers were their buddies and would ignore violations of the law. Both communities in time realized that the officers took pride in their responsibilities and made no exceptions to violators. The early experiences of black officers laid the foundation for all future black officers that followed. Through their commitment and dedication, the modern department has had black officers rise to some of the highest ranks in the department. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
Bernie's band's getting a little bit better.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, his band is all right.
Now he's got his baton.
In the
he's out. Yeah,
I can just see him marching up and down your backyard.
Yeah.
Watch out for the pool.
Yeah, really.
But,
the whole band follows him in.
Well, that was a nice story you did there.
Yeah, you recognize that song, too. It's, unfortunately, it is the actual Police Academy band, but usually people see it. Yeah, and people recognize it. They think of the movie Police Academy, which is unfortunate.
Oh, don't go there. No. You got this. You're doing this stuff for this History Alliance crowd here.
That's right. Yeah, because they've got, oh my God, over 50,000 plus people watching them on their Facebook page.
50,000 people on one page is a lot.
I know, it gets crowded.
And that's just a local page.
But they're from all over the place, and this is wonderful because they're keeping up with our history. And then you've got, you know, people like Barbara Given Bainey, who's out there just, you know, carrying on with her Facebook page, which is Remember in El Paso When, and she's got her team that are helping keep track of this and carrying on and doing some great things, stories, history, pictures.
She's got another admin now named Jim Carlton, and also another moderator is Richard Enger.
Oh, Richard Enger.
All kinds of people out there, and we thank them for what they do because they help us and we help them.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, if you want to get involved with history or have some history you want to share, talk to Bernie at 915-581-7920.
I'll tell you your phone number if you like.
Keep trying to get the station number.
You know? No, we'll pick one.
Saturdays.
Well, Bernie will be in here next week.
Ah, that's right.
Bernie coming in and talk to him.
Again, I know where
So if you want to find Bernie, Melissa Sargent, you can see him here next week.
We'll
if you don't know where he is in the meantime.
We'll probably carpool, yeah.
Oh, you may do that. You never know about these people. I mean, I don't want to know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Larry Francis is still here. We got him chained to the desk for another few minutes. But this is interesting to hear you talk about this stuff. We have a comment from one of our listeners named Joe on Facebook. Fabulous show. Joe Nevin put a comment up there. And he knows he was here for the history. So we're hearing stuff. People are hearing stuff.
Well, he had the hotel downtown.
And he runs the Gardner Hotel down there. And so he knows exactly what you're talking about. So he's thrilled that you're doing this. But we finished the bankruptcy of El Paso Electric pretty much, right?
Right.
What happened to the buildings that the Franklin Land Company owned? You said the bankruptcy required them to sell. What happened to them?
Well, they were sold. I think if I'm right, the Del Norte was sold to a Mexican group that operated it for years, and it kind of deteriorated. The Cortez, the community foundation, ended up with the big boardroom that El Paso Electric had built on the top floor, and the community foundation was up there for years till they moved into Paul's new building.
Right.
The other stuff, and this is a true story. I have a close friend, a businessman, very successful. Years ago, when this was going on, his accountant said, you know, El Paso Electric's buying all kinds of business. You want to retire? Why don't you go see them? They might buy your business.
Huh.
He goes over there and talks to the, I'm not going to name the name, the guy was running it, and the guy says, why are you here? He says, the only people that come see us are bankrupt. And that, of course, he left.
Oh.
But the point is, most of the stuff they bought
was not good stock.
And most of it was closed down.
Were they doing it to just save it? I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like.
I don't know what they were doing.
I mean, the Plaza Theater, what happened there?
Well, the Plaza Theater is a different deal. The Community Foundation ended up with that.
Right.
And while I was in office, first thing, Janice Wendell had a dinner for Marilyn and I, and it turned out to be a promotion. She wanted, bless her heart, she wanted to renovate the Plaza Theater and wanted the city to do it. And I looked at that. A, we had the Abraham Chavez, which is acoustically the finest facility around. But we had allowed it to deteriorate. If you've ever sat in the seats over there, it's like sitting in the electric chair.
Yeah.
The roof leaked, and I did put a new roof on the Chavez. But it was
you took that personally, didn't you?
Yeah, I have sat in that electric chair several times.
I'm sorry.
Well, it was a fine facility that the city, like everything else, does not maintain.
Oh yeah.
And what we do, then we go out and build another one.
And dust it off for a while.
And then until that goes.
It cracks.
That's right. The Plaza historically is beautiful. But it's an old building. The cost of renovating and maintaining it was going to be enormous. So they put it on the agenda, and I vetoed that. There's another Times cartoon, Party Pooper.
Larry Francis, Party Pooper. So, at least you knew who you were.
Yeah. So I vetoed it. After I left office, they made another run. And what the city did, they said, we can't bear this load. And so the Community Foundation stepped up and put more money in the deal and promised to help maintain it in the future. And it was renovated. It's a beautiful facility. It was enlarged.
It's a good thing it happened the way it is, I think.
Well,
I'm sorry it was rough going in, but I mean, it was worth it.
I have, you know, I'm cheap.
And that begins the conversation. Okay, now after that, what?
Well, I believe the money should have been spent on the Chavez.
Oh,
the symphony does not like performing there. Acoustically, it's terrible.
You mean in the Plaza?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to maintain what we have. And stop building new stuff that we can't maintain.
But they saved an old one. I mean, that was the bottom line. That Plaza Theater should not have been on the chopping block ever. But
well,
it was. I understand it was almost a parking lot at one point prior to your tenure.
It could have been. I don't remember
it
that.
It came real close.
The only thing I ever thought was it probably could have been made into some type of museum.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, as it is, I mean, it's a great performing theater.
Well.
And by killing.
No, it's a great movie theater.
Ah, okay. They don't think it's a good performing theater.
No.
Okay. Well, they got a lot of. They bumped the back end of it out. They took over that street back there. Yeah,
so that they could have props and.
Big stuff going on and make themselves feel important.
And my opinion is what it's worth. Nothing.
It's a better movie house.
That's right.
Is what you're thinking. Yeah. Okay. I was just curious what happened to all that down there. So another one to ask you about that we had on our list here, go wherever you want. But, I mean, one was the Crest Collection. Now, that didn't happen during your tenure, but you had to move it.
Well, I ended up with that problem. The Crest Collection is a long story and the most interesting as far as history. It starts with attorneys who came here at the turn of the century. He built that big home on Montana Street for his wife. Things went great till the Depression. He went broke. He couldn't pay the property taxes. In 1939, the city took the home over for property, and it was decided that it would become the city art museum.
Oh.
World War II arrived at the same time, and if you weren't here, but we had bundles for Britain.
Yeah.
That happened there.
Remember that, yeah.
Okay.
And the bandages and all that.
Yeah, that's right. After the war, under Dan Ponder, our second mayor after the war, he agreed to create the museum. We had no city museum. And he did something that was very good. He made it and named it this El Paso Museum of Art because that became critical in the Crest Collection.
Oh.
Because when Sam Crest was building his stores. R.E. McKee became a good friend and built a number of his stores west of the Mississippi. And he and the R.E. and his wife Evelyn became good friends with the Cresses, Sam and his wife. When Sam died, he had a foundation, and he had a premier private art collection in the world. He put in his will, and you can't believe the consternation it caused. He put in the will that half of his collection would be loaned to the top 10 cities where he had stores. Mm-hmm. And the first city, the one that was the best store in his whole chain, got first choice. Guess who that was?
El Paso.
Us. So there's a picture of Mr. McKee and his wife Evelyn and Dan Ponder and his wife going to New York to accept the collection and make the choices. Excuse me. The Cress Collection Foundation board was absolutely aghast.
I bet El Paso, that isn't even in the country.
Yeah. That's right. They're still shooting people down there.
Yeah.
And Rush, his brother, who was head of the foundation, said, sorry, that's what the will says. That's what
got to do it.
But the other group that got indignant was the National Museum of Art, mm-hmm, in Washington, D.C.
Oh, they wanted all this stuff, right?
They got the other half.
Oh.
And they wanted it all, but B, they got second choice.
Yeah, they didn't get the cream of the crop, is basically.
Nah.
So... We get the collection, but there were some very stiff caveats. One, it had to be a city museum. B, it had to meet a lot of environmental requirements.
Climate control.
Heat, light. So Mr. McKee built those two block extensions off the front of the Turney home to meet those requirements. This happened during Raymond Tejas' final years. He got appointed as mayor of ambassador, and Ralph Seitzinger took over, accepted the paintings when they arrived in 61. Everything went fine, except the building started deteriorating.
Ooh.
At the end of Jonathan's administration, the collection, the foundation comes in every couple of years, examines a painting, makes sure we haven't sold them off, and take some of them back for cleaning and repair.
Now, who actually owns them at that point?
The foundation.
Yeah.
Owns
Chris,
them today.
To this day.
We don't own them. They're on loan.
But they're permanently, legally here forever or
forever, as long as we meet...
Conditions.
Conditions.
Got it. Okay. Conditions deteriorated. And then what happened? They, and you say at the end of Jonathan's term, what year are we talking about here?
89,
okay.
And tell him, look, the building is not meeting the criteria. Again, potholes before pictures. And and nothing's done. It goes Susie, then Bill. Finally, in Bill's deal, at that point, although it was a city museum with a city art director, the friends of the museum, Dean Miller and a bunch of dedicated citizens, actually were running the museum. They get concerned because the city won't move. And they go and make $1 million down payment on the old bus depot, which is...
Oh, they did it.
They did it with another payment of $1.5 million due a year or so later.
Yeah, I remember that. We just got in
there.
They
couldn't make the final payment, so they come to Bill. He already had financial problems.
Bill's name, last name is...
Tilney.
The mayor.
Mayor.
Yeah.
He comes up with $1.5 million. And as soon as the city puts $1.5 million in, the facility becomes a city property.
Yeah.
That created some problems because the Friends of the Museum had been running it, and they were holding events and raising money. Most of the art outside the Cress Collection was privately donated or bought through the efforts of the Friends of the Museum. I come along, and as soon as it became a that building became a city property, and we were going to have to build the new museum, which I did, we had a lot of people in town that said, hey, this is an elitist group down there running that museum, and that's not right. So they get an opinion from the AG, say that we have to appoint a board, which we did. Each alderman and myself made an appointment, I'm on board. Put those people out of business. They came to see me right after I got there and said, this isn't fair. We're the reason that thing exists. And I said, I agree with you, but I have no choice. I felt bad about that ever since.
Mm. So they ended up turning another museum on at that location.
Well, what happened, in the end, they came and said, can we have the old building since you're going to vacate it?
Right.
Which we did for them.
It's now the International Museum of Art.
That's right. Yep.
And they actually seem to be doing pretty good, better than they were.
It may be.
Yeah.
They still have their struggles.
Oh, no, of course they do. I mean, there was a whole $500,000, whatever the number was, air conditioning problem that had to be solved.
Elevator.
Et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, but the thing is, the Crest Collection moved downtown under your tenure because you helped them build a new building.
Well, we built the new museum down.
Yeah. This guy's name is Larry Francis, and we're talking to him about stuff in El Paso history. We need to take a break.
The man that knows where everybody's buried.
And do trivial trivia. Now, do you have trivial trivia?
I have trivia.
Or do you have important trivia?
I have important trivia.
Okay, then what is it?
But it could be trivialized, but that's okay. Okay. Our first question, and we did discuss these this last hour, is what high school in El Paso did Mayor Francis attend?
We said that.
Yeah, we said that one.
He knows it, but don't say it.
He knows it, yes. And the second one is also an easy one. How many terms did Mayor Francis serve as mayor of El Paso?
Oh, it's not. It's under nine. There's
it's
a clue.
Under nine.
It's under nine.
Nine terms, yes.
Those are your questions?
But he actually served as mayor. So.
But what if you know the answers to these questions?
Give us a call because that's the only way you're going to win a gift
certificate. They've already started calling in. Here they come.
That's the only way you're going to win a gift certificate for $20 to Pepe's and Can Utio. So call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know promotional products work because they're everywhere from sales meetings and corporate events to trade shows. Ever wondered why or how to best use promotional products to grow your business? Let us show you today for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away an ebook called Promotional Products Work, absolutely free. To everyone who texts radio to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free ebook will reveal valuable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, help your cause, or simply grow your business. Get the ebook, Promotional Products Work, absolutely free by texting radio to 88988. That's RADIO to 88988.
Credit products are issued by WebBank, member FDIC. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Funds are deposited for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Offer valid for loan products 90 days after today. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
Have you longed for a simpler life? Imagine how simple life would be if you just had one bill every month. It's that kind of simplicity Avant can help you find with a debt consolidation loan. Pay off your bills and have just one fixed rate payment. It takes just minutes to apply online. And depending on approval, you could have your money sent the next business day, from $2,000 to $35,000. And because Avant is accredited by the Better Business Bureau, life is not only simpler, but in hands you can trust.
Simplify your life with a debt consolidation loan through Avant. Plus, get a free $50 Amazon gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and get this free offer, go to Avant.com and enter code 3737 when applying. Avant.com, code 3737. That's Avant.com, code 3737.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
Well, we got the trivia lines are all full up over there. We'll get to those in a second. Next week, Bernie's going to come in. I got to tell you, he's coming in May 25. He's got more El Paso history A to Z and a bunch of more of those early El Paso pioneers. There was actually a pioneer association.
Yes.
Back in the day, you had to have been here before 1890 or something.
Of which his son's involved in.
Well, now his son is actually the president of the current version. Mm-hmm. Rick Francis is in charge of that. Yes. And Bernie is the president, I believe.
That's right, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, so those guys are going to come in and talk about that. No, not just Bernie.
Yeah.
If Rick wants to come in, there, he can come
Bernie
in.
Bernie and a lot of lovely ladies and other great people on that board, yes.
And June the 1st, the Tularosa Basin Historical Society is coming in. Think about that for a minute. This is the Alamogordo crowd. Think
show.
About all the history that's gone on there.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Integrally? Anyway,
I don't know,
it's part of our history, too, is what I'm trying to say. So they're going to show up and talk about their stuff. They have a museum now in the middle of Alamogordo. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Go check that out. That's
there.
A really cool little museum.
And
they run that, and they talk about a lot of stuff. But they're going to talk about the bombing rains that started in Alamogordo. They ended up doing nuclear weapons and all kinds of stuff. June the 8th, our guest is Leo Duran.
Ah,
do you know Mr. Leo Duran to you? He owns the famous restaurant by the graveyard, Mr. L&J Cafe. He's also president of the Texas Restaurant Association. And he got all kinds of history.
He's
going to talk about restaurants.
Great guy. He really is.
So what do you got? You got trivia?
Well, I think it's time to send your kids to camp to become little, Raiders of the Lost Ark. And you have an opportunity to do that through the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. They've got their summer camps coming up June 4th, going all the way through to June 28th. And they have different levels of it with different programs. So I would give them a call out there. And I'm looking for the go to their website, the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, or call them. I found the phone number, 212-404-21, because I guess it's great for the kids to get out. They get running around. They go different places.
They're not getting the history in school.
No, and this
give it to them in the summer.
And we have great archaeologists staring us in the face everywhere we drive.
That's a great way to start looking into history. Like, what's the old stuff?
The old
stuff. All right, we got people here on the phone. We got three of them. We only have two questions, but we can make up a third question. I think I've got one more certificate.
Oh, okay.
We'll see how that works. There's going the order that they call. This one would be Barbara on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackson.
Good morning, Barbara. Okay, let's see.
Melissa, yes.
Well, she's the trivia lady.
I wasn't digging for that,
you got to talk to Melissa about trivia. So here.
Okay, what high school in El Paso did Mayor Francis attend?
Oh, where all the best people in El Paso went, Austin High, including Jackson, myself, and Leo.
Austin High School.
I hear some prejudice here.
And Leo Duran, as she mentioned. Barbara,
I believe Marilyn, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Did your wife go?
Yeah, she and I were in the same class.
Oh,
yes,
high school sweethearts.
Childhood sweethearts. Right.
Well, she's put up with me for 65 years.
She can't figure out how to do something else, so there she is, huh? I got one of those.
Well, there you go.
I want to nominate the Francis's, the official parents of El Paso, because they just know how to do things.
There you go.
That's great.
Okay.
You are now an official parent of El Paso, Larry Francis.
Well, I hope I live up to the...
Yeah, wait till the PTA meeting. You'll be in big trouble there. Well, Barbara, thank you for calling us this morning.
And you win.
And thank you. You must have gone to Austin High School as well.
Yeah, I graduated the year after you did, Jackson.
Oh, now I've figured out who you are.
She was stalking you.
All right, well, thank you for ringing up. And anything else on your mind this morning?
No, I'm quite content. That was interesting. Larry came to speak for my Clementines group on these same topics at St. Clementine's. And I have wished to have a recording of everything he said, so this was delightsome for me to catch it all again.
Well, there you are. Well, Barbara, thanks a lot for calling up, and hold on here. And we have Jamie Nodler is in here today.
Jamie Nodler
is in here today.
Yes.
And she'll take your info and how to get your prize,
so
okay?
Stay on the line.
Great. Thanks so much. God bless.
Hold on, and if it works, I hit the right button. Oh, looks like I did.
Oh, let's hope
she's on hold now.
Okay.
So you ready for something else?
Yeah, we need someone else here.
You ready for another
question.
Persona named Diane?
Diane. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Okay, the second question we have is, how many terms did Mayor Francis serve as the mayor of El Paso?
2, critical city saving terms. Thank you. And city, thanks you.
Ooh, she gets
critical
bonus
saving
points.
Terms.
Well, you're very kind.
Check is in the mail.
Yeah. If I had the money, I'd send the check.
Yeah, therefore, you're not.
You don't worry. We just deposited double for today's broadcast. Thank
oh,
you
even
so
better.
Much.
Well, Diane, thanks a lot for ringing
okay.
up.
What,
thank you. You're welcome.
Now, all right, so stay in line. Or do you have anything else you'd like to put into this?
Just very interesting history about how he saved the electrical company. And I used to look at the Crest collection during we moved here in 1965, and I've spent hours and weekends going through that collection over and over and sitting in rooms, you know, with alone, actually, and without really knowing the history, wondering how El Paso inherited such beautiful art.
Oh, it's amazing.
So thank you very much.
It was almost a crapshoot, but not quite, and we won. And that's kind of how it went.
Well, I was in line once at Crest downtown, so I certainly know how busy they were. So well,
that's a story all by itself. All right, thanks for playing. Yeah. Hold on here, and Jamie will tell you how to pick us up, all right?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot. Okay, we got another. We haven't gotten rid of Raul yet. Hey, Raul, good morning.
Good morning. Very interesting show.
Well, thank you kindly. Now, we're kind of out of questions, but do you have a question for us?
Oh, yeah, I got a book suggestion title for the mayor there, Saving a Bankrupt Utility. let me book he could write. I'd like a couple of questions. Who were the major owners of the electric company at the time they went bankrupt? And what kind of rate of return are they guaranteed by law on an annual basis?
Well, your first question, it was a publicly traded company, so they had some pension funds in that had large positions, but there was no one or two owners.
I had stock in it.
A lot of people. Yeah. In fact, if those of you that remember or know about Baldwin's Barbershop.
Yeah.
He was a longtime barber. He opened his shop finally down on Wyoming.
Wyoming, yeah.
Okay. I went in there, this is before I was mayor, and to get my hair cut, and old man Baldwin, who has since passed, asked me, he says, you know something about the electric company? I said, well, a little bit. He said, I have all my retirement in their stock. They were on the verge, hadn't gone bankrupt. He says, what should I do? And I said, well, I'm not a financial advisor, but if it's at your retirement, I think I'd sell it. And he did, and he saved his retirement because all the stockholders lost everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the other question was
the rate of return, was that it?
Oh, rate of return.
Yeah.
That,
correct.
It's not set in stone, but in general, they're allowed to make up to about 6%. On their assets, and this is critical, they're not guaranteed a profit. In other words, they can be stupid and go broke.
That's allowed.
But if they don't do anything stupid, they're going to make money. It's the stock of widows and orphans. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
I understand. I thought it would have been a good idea for the taxpayers, the El Pasoans, to take a piece of the action, invest some when they act. As for a rate increase, we'll take it in as shares of equity in the name of the community so that we'd eventually have people sitting on the board of directors and move that energy and that business into heavily into solar and renewable sources of energy and without buying it out.
Let me stop you there. There's a lot of things that they could do, but you hit on a point that is very important. And I started to present it to the bankruptcy court. By using ratepayer money to get into this private enterprise, which was illegal, they in effect made you, the ratepayer, the largest single debtor. But I never pursued that, and I regret this to this day. If we'd have done that and could have prevailed in the bankruptcy court, we would have then controlled the board. It wouldn't have been a city utility, but we would have been, in effect, the largest stockholder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's an interesting twist. Yeah.
Too bad that didn't happen there.
Well, I sat in my office, like I said, 4 hours, and I've decided, look, we've got to get the company back running. we can't go down these other
rabbit holes.
Yeah. Ronald, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, you take her easy. Well, I'm out of.
Oh, you're out of coupons.
We have another caller as well.
Oh, here. Okay.
Johnny, you're back. What is now on your mind?
Yes, sir. Like I say, that mayor really educated me. Anyway, since he has the word he used, cheap, which is me, you know, I'm that way too, so we're in the same club.
Yeah.
What's his thoughts on the City Hall being torn down and the stadium being built as opposed to maybe trying to put a stadium out in the Northeast? What are your thoughts? Or somewhere else in El Paso? Now, what are your thoughts?
Now, you were talking about tearing down City Hall?
Yes, and building a stadium as opposed to maybe.
Okay, you've hit on a subject that I have is very dear to my heart. And I really can't comment. My son didn't speak to me for a year and a half because I wrote an op-ed article. And you need to go, if you get an old El Paso Inc. paper, and I wrote an op-ed on that very subject.
I think we're not taking that up at this time, Johnny.
Fair enough. Hey, then. Well, you know, I thought I'd give it a shot anyway.
Well, you hit the nerve. Thanks a lot. You take a read. Well, you know, there's a lot of history you don't want to keep repeating. We just managed to get one here. You need to talk to Rick. He's a nice guy, apparently.
He is. He is. And
he's a good
and
kid.
We get along great.
So leave it at that.
But he did have heartburn with me over that.
Well, let's leave it at that and take a break and come back and do something else here. Shall we do that?
We shall do that.
Because we need to do El Paso Inc. in the beginning
Speaking of the
next.
Speaking of the
Inc. Speaking of which here. And in the meantime, you put up Shirley Temple on our page.
That was a remark to Joe.
What the heck is that?
I was thanking him. It's just, oh, my God, thanks.
That is so cute.
He made such a nice remark.
Where do you find Shirley Temple all of a sudden?
Oh, I have all these gifts, these little video things that are so cute. I have Mae West. I have some really interesting
ones.
Gifts
from the Internet. All right, taking a break here. Call us if you want to, whatever.
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Where's Crawford?
At the Crawford Buick GMC location by the airport.
You remember Cash for Cluckers?
Bring your Clucker to Crawford Buick GMC today. It's the terrific Crawford Cash for Cluckers program.
Push it, pull it, drop it, regardless of condition.
Mr. Crawford said, make them an offer they can't refuse.
The entire value of the offer will be deducted from the bottom line.
On any new Buick or GMC.
And on the entire used car and truck inventory.
Only at the Crawford Buick GMC location by the airport. This hot-selling 2019 Buick Encore. Right now for only $18,777. Cash for Clunkers program.
Montana Airway. Let's go.
Did you know that 18% of children in the U.S. live in poverty? That's nearly one in five. Red Nose Day is back at Walgreens to help change that. With your purchase of a Red Nose at Walgreens, you're making a real impact on the lives of children in need. Tune in Thursday, May 23rd for the Red Nose Day special on NBC for a star-filled evening of comedy and music where your giving can make a difference for children in need both here in America and around the world.
Get up first thing, smoke a cigarette. Before lunch, after lunch. Now that I'm talking about it, I'm kind of feeling like I've lost about 4 hours of every day. I decided I needed to find an alternative. So I started looking and then Juul came up. I did both for a while. And eventually I just switched over. It's very quick.
Mimi made the switch July 2015. Make the switch at JUUL.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive,
Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we got to do one thing we need to do here, and that's thank the people in the control room. You have Jamie Nodler, that's a K-N-O-D-L-E-R, something like that.
Not yodeling, nodling.
And your resume's online now? You're looking for work in the museum business? You'll call 544-5876. Call her up right now for that. She's doing this call thing business. But also, the guy in there who makes the electrons dance and get out of here and go into your house under your head, that would be Sergio Valenzuela. See? He's got a fan club ready to go.
He's ready to built in.
Okay,
yes.
Now are you ready for this? This week only in El Paso, Inc.
The Glamour Shots in El Paso is one of the last five in the country. The unlikely story behind its success.
Also in the El Paso, Inc., the lead architect designing the Children's Museum talks about her vision for the museum, working at one of the world's most sought-after firms and growing up in El Paso.
The Neon Desert Music Festival returns to downtown El Paso, the headliners, new artists, and more.
El Paso, Inc. is El Paso's only weekly business and lifestyle journal.
To read El Paso,
your
Inc.
turn.
I'm reading. To read El Paso, Inc. and to order your subscription, go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, great paying jobs, breathtaking prices, and more. How fracking is changing the West Texas economy.
Join host Saul Sines at ABC 7 Extra for an in-depth discussion Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. only on ABC 7.
Too much flair there.
You know, and how did you know I was one of those people that got the glamour shots? Bertie still has that picture of me on the desk.
Well, I mean, they're just out there.
With a little hand under the chin, you know, to hide the double chin.
I don't even understand what that is. It's on the front page of the El Paso Times here this morning.
Oh, that was a big thing back then. Y'all got your pictures. You look so glamorous.
Well, whatever.
I'm moving on.
Get the ink if you want to. That's the whole point of that, right?
Read the stories.
I'm not. Look at the pictures.
You look glamorous. You'll look glamorous reading the ink.
We got only a few minutes left with mayor. And this mayor has got 900 stories left to go.
Oh, we could have him back for two more shows.
Well, we might have to, but the concept would be the deal of the airport. You want to talk about airport?
Yeah.
I mean, you had airport stuff going on.
Oh, we did.
Larry Francis is the guy's name, in case you're one who is
guest.
Mr. Larry Francis to you.
The Honorable Larry Francis.
Oh, boy. We're really getting deep in here.
It is. I'm going to get my boots on and come back in here.
We had a big airport issue. I sat on the White House lawn in support of NAFTA under the Clinton administration. And with NAFTA arriving, it put tremendous pressure on our airport. The airport needed to be expanded and remodeled, and the airport is what's known as an enterprise operation, has their own funds, and they have a big trust fund, which I talked about earlier.
Out of which they bought the golf course or whatever?
They built Butterfield.
Yeah.
And they had plenty of money. At that time, they had $37 million in the fund. They had hired an architect.
Where'd they get that money?
That comes from, by the way, at that time were only two municipal airports that made a profit, El Paso, Texas, and Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh.
All the rest are supported by taxpayer money.
Oh, my.
They have the airport industrial district up there above the airport.
So they're charging rent.
They get rent, lease payments.
Landing fees or whatever that is?
They have landing fees. They have all the internal rent from the restaurants and all of that.
Well, of all the airports in the United States, in Honolulu and El Paso, the only one's profitable. What was the point? How did we do that? How was that done?
We got lucky.
Oh, okay.
The Army came in here in World War II because this was an all-weather airport, and we were having to fly planes back and forth across the United States.
Hundreds a day in some cases. Hundreds.
They had a big command center set up in what's now the front parking lot in a big canvas tent.
Oh.
Anyway, they acquired land along Montana and north of the airport, south of Biggs Field, which when they were done at the end of World War II, gave to the city.
Oh.
The only caveat was that had to be used for improvement of the airport. So we made it, a lot of it, into that airport industrial park, stuff along Montana. We had, there's businesses out there that are on lease land. In any event, we hired an architect, the airport manager. He was paid almost $1 million, and the only thing he got done was he made the mock-up that you many of you have seen there in the lobby years ago of what the new airport was to look like.
Oh, so his accomplishment was making the model.
Yeah.
The maquette or whatever you want to call it.
And going around with the airport manager talking to the Rotary and the Lions about how we needed to build the airport. Old Larry arrives, and there's tremendous pressure. We need to get that airport built. The problem was we had no plans. We'd spent $1 million. All he had was an elevation and a few rudimentary drawings.
And a maquette.
You can't build a building without plans and specifications. The council put it on the agenda, passed it, and I vetoed it.
Oh, you were popular, I'm sure.
Oh, listen, I was, you know. There's another cartoon in the Times.
Nacho Garcia's got your number, huh?
Oh, hey, listen, he made a living off of me.
Oh, yeah.
Nacho.
Anyway, I vetoed it. With that, the business community descends on me and said, you've got to build this. It's important for the progress of this city. And they were right. So reluctantly, we put it back on and passed it. And because we had no plans, the idea was to hire a construction manager, which is a no-bid deal, and try and muddle through it. I forced the architect to move his office out on the airport property, actually in the office where the airport police are now, there in the concourse, and draw plans as fast as he could. I asked Terry Murphy, who was head of Sun Metro. The airport manager saw he was in trouble. He left. I got Terry Murphy to go out there, and after a month, she came back to City Hall and said, I don't want any part of this job. This is going to blow up. I don't want to be associated. So I then go out there 3 times a week in the mornings and act as airport construction manager.
Mayor construction manager.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, goodness.
Hands on.
And that's what gave me my final heart attack.
Is that what your issues were with health? It was heart attacks?
I had 2 in City Hall. Most people didn't know it.
And you probably deserved it, but let's don't
well,
worry
that's,
about it.
As a lot of my friends said, there's a lot of people don't like you.
Trying to kill you.
Didn't quite work. He's still here.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, we, through a lot of hard work, got the airport built, and it's a nice airport. Yeah. We needed it.
Yeah.
But it was difficult.
Well, it was the World War II business with the Army that then made the major difference in the land and therefore the profitability of the airport.
Well,
is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I mean, the city was very fortunate, if you recall. The Army had all that land around the airport,
right,
and they gave that to the city.
Right.
Then
there was no skin off their nose. It didn't cost them anything.
Well, the problem was they had condemned it from various property owners, which after the war, those people were gone. They had no way of giving it back to the people they took it from.
Oh, my.
But the big deal was all of the artillery ranges in that north of town. And Fred Hervey's administration, the Army came to him and said, we want to get rid of all this. We will sell it to you for $55 an acre. And all that public service board land, which has been where we've developed and expanded into, was acquired by Fred. He was worried about politicians having control over it, so he set up the public service board, which is a quasi-independent board.
I see.
And they control the land.
Mm-hmm. So that's how that ended up.
And there was an article here, what, last few days about this
Lost Dog Trail.
Wasn't that it?
The
Lost Dog Trail and where the money's going to come from.
And that's not right. D says, well, it's going to cost how many million?
11.3. Yeah.
Well, that's the appraised value would be based on what they're selling land for.
Oh, so that's a false number, you think?
Well, what he's against it.
Yeah.
And the Public Service Board would like to charge the city that, but they don't have to. The city can buy that land back for $55 an acre.
Ah, what a surprise.
Oh.
Whereas the other guy, Bonnert, is saying, well, it only costs $25.25. Mr. Bonnert, I'm just...
There's a reason we don't get into these discussions.
That's right.
It's because these people are real and can come get us.
That's right.
We only want to talk about history where they can't catch up with us anymore.
Well, one thing you were
talking... We got to take a break here. Real quick.
Make your point. And I'd like to go back on this. Is when you... NAFTA. That's very historic and very important for our city. When did the free trade zone set up in the airport itself within the district and also within the Butterfield Park area? When did that come into full...
A lot of it happened during the NAFTA deal.
And a lot of people don't even realize those are there yet.
Yeah.
We need to take a break. I hate to say this to you. But in the meantime, we're going to run some commercials while you just keep talking to the mayor.
We'll just keep talking to
We're going to go off the air for this.
Okay.
Are you ready for some commercials?
Let's go commercials.
3, 2, 1, commercials. The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to 4hims.com/play. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/play. That's 4hims.com/play for your first month for just $5. 4hims.com/play.
Did you know that 18% of children in the U.S. live in poverty? That's nearly 1 in 5. Red Nose Day is back at Walgreens to help change that. With your purchase of a Red Nose at Walgreens, you're making a real impact on the lives of children in need. Tune in Thursday, May 23rd for the Red Nose Day special on NBC for a star-filled evening of comedy and music where your giving can make a difference for children in need, both here in America and around the world.
Discover alerts you if they find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. It's just another way they look after you, not just your account. It's free for card members. Just sign up online at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
We've only got Larry Francis here for a couple more minutes, but you had that movie thing you need to get in.
Yeah, oh, we got
to
get
2 o'clock today.
2 o'clock today. Get on over to the International Museum of Art, which we were talking about. There are theaters there. It's a great little theater to watch some wonderful free films with Jay and the Sunset Film Society, and he gives out some great trivia and information on it. The film's at 2 p.m., and it's Elephant Walk, which stars Elizabeth Taylor, Peter Finch, and Dana Andrews. It was a great movie. And then next week, they've got Tupaki, which is Melanie McCurry, which is one of my favorite actresses, Peter Ustinov, and Maximilian Schnell. So it's a free movie. Go every Saturday.
Montana Avenue at Brown.
At Brown Street. And it's free. You can buy popcorn and have a great time.
The mayor is here. The mayor is not going to make it to Pepe's, apparently, because he has to go play Gin Rummy.
And I'm going to go help him rob the train.
And you're
going to
go rob a train down at Freeport. And we should just mention, the Freeport train robbery is at 3, but things are going on now.
Yeah, they're going to show up around 1 o'clock, and they've got some great things. Lunch, food.
Exhibits are open now.
Exhibits, watch the model trains.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So get down there when you can. All right, Mayor Francis, we thank you for coming in here. Any last thoughts for this community? You said your last run for office was a what?
Well, that was an ego.
That's what it was.
I should have never done that, but I felt that the directions were not good. So my ego takes over, and I'm going to run again. That was a mistake. My time had come and gone.
Let's say the fact that you know that makes you a better person.
Well, I don't
I would
know
think.
About that. Well, and I should have, my time, as I said, the city progresses, moves on, but that's the history of that. You ask about that.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're in general, I mean, we got about a minute left here. In general, what is your take on El Paso history as is? I maintain that we have world-class history and that we deserve to be on every stage in the planet.
You can't believe we're the only city that went out of business for 3 years.
What?
We don't know that?
No.
Yeah.
Only got a minute left. What?
Ben Dow, our first mayor, one of the reasons we wanted to protect the water canal.
Yeah.
And we wanted to hire a marshal. But you can't have a marshal unless you're incorporated. So we incorporate. The problem is you got to have income.
Oh.
So we have get a property tax list. He can't collect but a third of it. So a council member runs, our second mayor, I can't remember his name, he says, I'll collect it. He couldn't. So he writes a letter to the governor and says, we're shutting down. And for 3 years, there was no city of El Paso until the railroad started arriving.
You think we should try that again? we might find out the
house,
hard way here.
Yes.
Larry Francis, thank you for coming in here. Jamie Nodler, thank you for being in there and
thank you, Jamie.
Taking the calls. Sergio Valenzuela, thank you for doing your thing. And we're going to come back here next week and do this again.
I think so.
We got Mr. BS coming in, Bernie Sargent himself.
Yes,
wear your boots next week for sure.
With MS me.
So. That would be you. You still claim him.
More S.
In the meantime, watch him on TV coming up in June. We'll tell you more about that next week. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, EP Mr. Francis.
EPHistory.com. Larry, thanks.
It's
Take
great.
It easy, guys. See you next week. Bye.
We'll bring him back.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.